Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I want to ask that you join me in Luke chapter 19 this morning. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. I want to share with you, you know, in life, let me ask you, do you believe that it's important for you to be on course and involved in every area that you find yourself gifted and available to be a true servant of Jesus Christ? Amen or oh me? You believe that, I think. I think you and I all desire to be true, faithful followers of Jesus Christ in every area of our lives. And sometimes God places divine appointments in our lives that gives us these opportunities to be able to go out and to share the gospel, or to be able to affect someone for the gospel and really minister to those needs. And as we look at the scripture this morning, you're going to see that there's a lot of different ways God blesses and uses us for his kingdom. Matter of fact, I know that there are some who have gathered here this morning, you as an individual, that God has used in a mighty way to be able to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ so that God's word would continually and effectively march on. We have someone here this morning I want to share with you who has recently received an award, and his name is Tyler Teague, and I know he didn't know I was going to do this, but he won the Iron Eagle Award this past week. The reason he won it, listen, none of us are perfect. I can promise you that. I can tell you that I'm not perfect, but one thing I can tell you in order to be able to win this award is it's based on leadership qualities. It's based on the ability to continue on serving in the midst of adversity, and it's based on everyone else voting for you. And so, Tyler, I want to say congratulations in you receiving this honor. And I know it's also based on Christian leadership as well. And as I share that, let me share with you that in the course of each of our lives, there are opportunities waiting day after day for you to step up as an individual to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. But even more importantly than you being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ is that you tell someone else about the love of Jesus Christ. And I say that those must go hand in hand. They must be married together. They must be joined together. If you're not a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, you're not going to tell someone else about the love of Jesus Christ. One of my all-time heroes in the gospel is Dr. Billy Graham. And one of the things that he's been able to do all of these years, he's now in his mid-90s, but you know that he's been faithful to proclaim the gospel. Now even battling Parkinson's disease and not able to do what he once was able to do, he's still finding ways through old videos. We just recently had an opportunity for Billy Graham to share the gospel through a television experience. And if you were able to watch that, then you saw him still being able to tell people about the love of Jesus. And I think that's exciting. In 1996, he received an award, a gold medal award, for his service to America. And he was presented this, and in his, I think, a way that he always does, he tried to get Jesus mentioned in there some way or another with humility. And so he was actually doing an interview with Diane Sawyer, and they were talking with him about this. And so this is what he said. He said, "Ruth and I are humbled by this award, but the only recognition I'm looking forward to is when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. My greatest reward will be to hear him say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" My challenge to you today is that you understand the importance of living your life in such a way that when you stand before King Jesus one day, the only award that you care about is receiving that pat on the back from King Jesus when he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." There's several truths that I want to share with you concerning the Word of God this morning as we look at this parable in Luke chapter 19. I want to share with you in advance, it's different from Matthew chapter 25. The ruler goes away, but he leaves different gifts to those servants who are in charge. In Matthew 25, he leaves different amounts of gifts. What I want you to see through the scripture this morning in Luke chapter 19 is he gives us the same gifts. And it's basically the way we utilize those gifts that God gives us. And so let me share with you this morning, as the title sermon would suggest, it is no small matter how you choose to live your life. It makes a difference. And so with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of his word, Luke chapter 19, verses 11 and following. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him, and he sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. I want to stop there this morning. I want to ask you to pray with me. Father in heaven, today in the magnificent name of Jesus, we humbly come before your throne of grace. And as we approach your word this morning, I ask that you would begin to speak to our hearts in a way that we understand the reality of the importance that we serve you faithfully and obediently in every area of our lives. Father, as we look into this word, we understand it's a parable and there are many layers to parables. But one of the things that we understand is, spiritually speaking this morning, is that as the king, you have gone away, but you are going to return. And Father, I pray that as servants, it never be said of us that we hate the master. But Father, that it be said of us that we love the master. And Lord, we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all are going to have to excuse me, but I'm telling you, it is hot already. So there are several things that I want to submit to you this morning concerning this parable. I want to share with you first, maybe you're unaware of this, but this parable actually was something that happened. It was something that was true. It was different than the parable that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 25. This one was something that really happened. At the end of Herod the Great, his life, he had three different sons, and one of his sons traveled to Judea, from Judea to Rome at 4 AD, I'm sorry. And he wanted to, at this point, at just before Christ was getting ready to be delivered to the cross. And during this time, he would go. He was a very, very hated man, I want you to know, because of his antics, because of his tactics, because of his desire to have people slaughtered if they didn't follow his authority and were not obedient to him in every level. He wasn't going to deal with it. He was just going to have you slaughtered. And so now there's an opportunity for him to become king. And so he goes from Judea all the way to Rome to find out whether he was going to get the whole kingdom or whether it was going to be divided up between the other two brothers. As you have it, as history would have it, he ends up only becoming in charge of Judea, which devastated him, and he was very, very angry. And he took it out on the people. And so this very story right here, if you'll go back and you'll look and you'll search history out, you'll be able to see that this is a very true story. Archelaus was actually one of the sons of Herod the Great, who was the tyrant, or a tyrant, who decided that he was going to destroy anyone who stepped in his way. And so the people feared that. And so this story would be one who would indicate Christ already seeing the future. He understood at this point, Jesus is making his way through, performing many wonderful miracles on his way to Jerusalem. But he's continuing to share parable after parable. And as you know, a parable has a lot of different layers, just like an onion does. And sometimes it goes much deeper than what you read or what you see. And so this morning, what I want to talk with you about isn't about the historical facts of this at all. I want to talk with you specifically about the spiritual facts that we find through the scripture here this morning. And so number one thing that I submit to you is this. Jesus is going to return as king. Jesus is going to return as king. I want you to look at verse 11, if you will. It says this. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. They thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. And so we see that for just a moment, their idea was that the kingdom of God was going to happen right now, that God was, the Father in heaven was going to reign immediately as Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, as he was confident in his ability to go to the cross. The disciples were still unsure of exactly everything that was taking place, even though he had been teaching them and sharing one parable after another. As you have been going through the last few months, actually through Luke, maybe through John as well, over the last couple of weeks, you see the same thing begin to pan out as Jesus was teaching his disciples in Sunday school. And so this morning, what you can see is that he had just finished sharing one particular parable in some of the other gospels, and now we make our way to this one. Zacchaeus, as he's making his way from Jericho to Jerusalem, is about a 20-mile span. Jericho being, I shared with a Sunday school, it's about 1,300 feet below sea level. And from Jericho, he had just healed a blind man, Jesus did, here in Jericho, and he's making his way to Jerusalem, and it's all uphill. And the idea to this, though, is that you and I, as I shared with the Sunday school class, is there are going to be moments in your life where there are going to be spiritual battles, and it's going to all be uphill. But what I need you to focus on this morning as we look at this, as they were looking for the kingdom of heaven to appear immediately, I want you to know today that King Jesus is going to return. Do you believe it? To the point that you live it. See, that has to be the question. You can say, I believe something, but unless you're living that out in your lives, I don't know if you really believe that or not. And I think the same way is true with King Jesus. He desires to see that evidence of what you state or claim to be true. He wants to see evidence of that in your life. And so as we look at the scripture this morning, I want to tell you, you think about Archelaus, he's coming back to Judea, and then he destroys these that were not obedient and did not do with this money that he gave them. Mina was about 3 months' wages for someone who was in agriculture during this day. So if it was $50,000 today, it'd be about $12,500, somewhere around that. And that's about what this was. And then he gave this out to 10 different people, but it was the same amount he gave to every single one. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But one thing that I want to try and bring out is I'm telling you that Jesus is going to return as king, is that we put our strength, we put our faith in a lot of different things in this world, and we fail to put our strength and our faith where it needs to be pointed, and that's in Jesus. You know, we think if we have duct tape and a set of wire pliers or a plastic can that we can get anything accomplished like MacGyver could. But I'm telling you, that's completely wrong when it comes to your spiritual life. You've got to have complete and utter trust and faith in King Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says, and he shall reign forever and ever. King Jesus, when he returns, you need to understand that it's going to be a moment when he shall reign, not for a second, not for a little while, not for a year or 3 years or 7 years, but forever and ever and ever he will reign. My question to you is, will you reign with him? I pray that you understand that he is going to return. And so the UN is not going to be able to, as we live in a world today that's dangerous. The UN can't protect you. All of the advantages you have because of the time you live, they're not going to be able to save you. The only thing that's going to save you in the return of Christ Jesus is your relationship with Him. And so Jesus is going to return as King. Second thing that I submit to you this morning, I want you to get this. Don't miss these opportunities to receive His word this morning. He has given gifts to His servants. He has given gifts to His servants. Sorry about that. We'll have to fix that real quick. And understand as a servant of God that you are one who has received some gift or another. And as you think about the difference maybe between Matthew 25 and Luke 19, you have to see that there are some similarities, yes, but also the differences are very, very important. And one of the differences is one that I've already stated, is that they receive different amounts in Matthew 25. But right here in Luke 19, they all receive the exact same thing. So if I had with me $1,000 and I was going to divide that between all of you this morning, I'm not good with numbers, but we would have to take and we would have to divide that by the number of people who were here this morning, then I would come to you and I would give all of you the exact same amount of money. That's exactly what transpired here with the king. As he was preparing to leave, he gave all of those servants the exact same amount of money. And it's an amazing thing as you think about exactly what it is that he gave, as you talk and think about it on a spiritual level. And there are three things quickly that I want to share with you concerning these gifts that you and I have that are all the same. Listen, it's important that you grasp this, because I know as you look around, you see, well, these people are gifted more than I am in this area, and that person is gifted more than I am in another area. Well, God has blessed them with finances. Well, God has blessed them with a good voice. Well, God has blessed them with, okay, that's all wonderful, but God has blessed all of us. He's gifted all of us with some things that are the same. And I want to share some of these with you quickly. Number one is time. Listen to me. I don't care how you divide it. You and I all have the same amount of time in a day, 24 hours. You and I all have the same amount of time in a week. You and I all have the same amount of time in a month. You and I all have the same amount of time in a year. And the only difference in the amount of time we have is when our life is cut off. But today, you have the same amount of time given to you that I have. And you know what the difference is? How you choose to use the time given to you. And so that's my prayer, is that you understand the importance of taking this 24-hour period, and you've already decided this year with your resolutions that you're going to declutter your life. And so my prayer is that you take an opportunity to declutter your life in such a way that these things that affect your relationship with King Jesus, that you remove those so that you can better focus your time and your attention on the things of God. So you and I all have the same amount of time, 24 hours in a day. The next thing is this, is truth. It's relevant for all of us. Understand this. And when you pick up this holy book, you understand one thing and one thing only. This is the Word of God, and it is His truth without any mixture of error. The question is, will you believe the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you believe God's word from Genesis to Revelation? Or will you pick and choose what you want to believe because you would rather have a feel-good message preached and proclaimed to you than the full counsel of the word of God? I'm telling you today that you and I as believers, we all have the truth of the word of God available to us. If you'll just decide that you're going to spend time in God's Word, allowing Him to speak to your heart. And the next thing, quickly, as we move, time, truth, and then opportunity to serve God. You all have the same opportunity to serve God. Now, as I share that, you're thinking, but these people are gifted differently than I'm gifted, but that does not negate the fact that God has gifted you as a believer to serve Him in some area so that the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue to move forward, changing lives. You have an opportunity to do that. Well, preacher, God hasn't called me to stand up in front of people and preach so that His word will go forth. But God has placed people in your lives in a divine appointment kind of a setting so that when these people stand before you, you are then held accountable on whether or not you share the good news. If you're living your life in a way that people can see Jesus in you, then that is utilizing the opportunity to be a true servant of King Jesus. You've got to decide that you're going to be God's hands and feet. I can't choose that for you. You have to decide that with every opportunity presented, you are going to share with those who are lost, those who are destitute, those who are in need of having the love of God expressed to them. Will you be God's hands and feet? And then if you are not being God's hands and feet, will you become God's hands and feet? I think that should be the desire of each of us as God's children, is that we become God's hands and feet. And so there's time, there's truth, there's opportunity to serve. These are something that you and I all have equal amounts of. I believe it's just about your willingness, your availability to be used by God. Let me ask you, church, are you available? Let me ask you, do you have time to study the Word of God? I want to challenge you as we get on closer towards the end of the message this morning to pick up the Word and to take it and to do something with it rather than just allow it to collect dust on a shelf. And so you have the time, you have the truth available with you, and then God is going to present to you divine appointments. They may look different for each of us as individuals, but I believe with all of my heart that God allows divine appointments in your life so that you can share with someone the love of Jesus. As we move on this morning, you've got to continue on because we've got a lot to get to, and that's that all of us, as we look at the Scripture this morning, all of us will be judged by how we manage these gifts. You can see it clearly in the Scripture this morning. Brad, you're going to be judged by how you manage it. Tyler, you're going to be judged. Listen, I'm going to be judged. We're all going to be judged based on how we manage the gifts that God delivers to each of us as individuals. How are you managing those gifts? Those spiritual gifts. The opportunity to share the love of Christ. How are you managing these gifts? Are you utilizing them? Or you just come and you sit comfortably and cozy in the seat. And there's so much more you can do. So much more than you can do. Listen, I do not care if you're 4 years old, if you're 40, or if you're 104. There's something that you can do to glorify King Jesus in your life. And so as we look this morning, I want to share with you how well are you managing these resources God's given to us. Revelation chapter 20, we read about the great white throne judgment. And that's something that scares a lot of people because the great white throne judgment is where people are going to be judged not based on what they've done in their lives, but based on their names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so as we look at this and we think about Revelation chapter 20 and the judgment that's going to be placed on those, understand this as you look at the Scripture this morning, the judgment was placed on those who were servants. They did well. They heard, "Well done, good and faithful servant." They received that word. They heard it. They were blessed. They were rewarded. And the others, as you see, Archelaus, he comes back, and as you see the picture of this parable begin to play out in real life, he comes back, and then his desire is that he would destroy everyone else that were not faithful servants, that were not obedient to take what he had given them and use it. Why? Because they hated the master. Now, you and I understand that as believers, as Christ followers, as men and women who love King Jesus, that we have opportunity to take these gifts and to utilize growing in God's Word and taking these gifts and applying them not only to our lives, but in every area of opportunity that Christ gives us to share them. And so it's really based on your willingness. Listen to what, as you think about this judgment in Revelation chapter 20, where those who are not faithful servants, are not faithful indeed, they are cast into the lake of fire. Why? Because they didn't have a relationship. And so then we see there's another judgment, which is the judgment seat of Christ. And this is a little bit better judgment for you and for me. Matter of fact, it's the only one that you and I are going to be a part of. The judgment seat of Christ is really the Bema. And the Bema is where there's a seat that is above the rest of the floor, kind of like this altar right here, or this stage. And the king sits up here, and you go and you stand before the king at the Bema, and this is where you receive your rewards as believers. I think we look forward to that day when Christ returns. Understand that it's going to happen. And when he returns, one day you and I are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ as believers. And we're going to be rewarded based on the way we've lived our lives. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not worried about those rewards that I'm going to receive. I don't want any recognition for anything that I've done. Hey, when it comes to my King Jesus, I want him to acknowledge that he loves me. I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't think that's narcissistic at all. I think scripturally that's what God desires for us, to live our lives in such a way that when we would stand before him at the Bema, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter into the joy that is before you. Do you desire to hear that as a believer? I desire to hear that as a believer. And so at the judgment in Revelation chapter 20, it's a judgment of the punishment for the sin of unbelief. And then at the Bema, or at our judgment, at the Bema is going to be a time when King Jesus is going to pass out rewards for how well you've invested the gifts that he's given you, as you seek to serve him and honor him and bring glory to him in every area of your life. And now, finally, the last thing is some spiritual meaning for you. Personal meaning. How does this apply to me? And so let me share with you some things very, very quickly this morning. Number one is this. Those who reject the king's authority will be rejected. Those who reject the king's authority will be rejected. This is a scary thought. And a lot of people, as we look at this and we see that they were servants. No, they weren't servants, because a servant would have served. And they didn't serve. They didn't serve at all. And so we see the scripture this morning in verse 27. It says, but bring here those enemies of mine. A servant is not an enemy, right? A servant is someone who is obedient to the word that has been proclaimed to them. And so, as we see here, he says in verse 27, but bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them. And there's going to be a day, as we talked about this judgment, the great white throne judgment. It's going to happen whether you want it to or not. And then those who, through the sin of unbelief, you need to understand, who've never confessed Jesus as Lord, repented of their sins and turned and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior through faith, then they will be cast into the lake of fire, to the eternal lake of fire. Eternal lake of fire. Let me reiterate. Eternal. Eternal implies forever, just in case you missed that. And that's what's going to happen. And those who are not believers, but then there are those who are faithful, and they're going to receive their reward. And I praise God for the opportunity to receive rewards. Amen. And so the next thing is that those who reject the king's authority will be rejected. As a matter of fact, you and I understand the word of God. If you honor me before man, Jesus himself spoke these words, that I will honor you before my Father in heaven. For you, are you honoring Jesus with your life? I pray you are. So The second thing is we continue to move on. If you fearfully hide God's resources, you risk losing them. If you fearfully hide God's resources, you risk losing them. While almost every one of these who had received the gifts of this 3 months worth of wages took those and invested them wisely, there's always someone who, out of fear or out of a desire not to serve, out of hatred because they don't believe the master, or for whatever reason, they choose not to honor the king's requests. And we see that there was this one who didn't. Look at verse 21. Look at verses 20 and 21. Then we'll look at verse 26. Then another came saying, "Master, here's your manna, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief." He'd hidden it. He had put it away in a handkerchief, has not utilized the resources to the best of their ability. And then it says in verse 21, "For I feared you because you are a hard man." I feared you because you are a hard man. You collect what you did not deposit, and you reap what you did not sow. Look at verse 26. "For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And I share that to say this, that if you fearfully hide God's resources, you risk losing them. Let me give you an example. Because this is by no means referring to your salvation, but it's referring to you utilizing the gifts that God has given you. A lot of people say, "I just want a shack at the back of heaven." But you should desire so much more than that. Because that means that you really desire to squeeze in just by the skin of your chinny chin chin. I don't think any of us really desire that, do we? I know that isn't my desire, but when I stand before King Jesus, I want to be able to take the crowns off of my head, who are those that I've been able to share the gospel with, and I want to be able to place those at the feet of King Jesus. I desire to have something to offer him. And that should be your desire as a Christ follower. You desire to have something to offer him. Yet there were some who said this, "I knew you were a hard man, and that you reap where you did not sow, so I hid it. I just wrapped it up in a handkerchief." And really, how does this work out for you as a believer? If you have gifts that God has given you, spiritual gifts, and you're not utilizing those gifts or developing those gifts, then you take the chance of losing them. You've heard it, the old adage, if you don't use it, you lose it. Take this as an example. You have muscles in your body, and it's a proven fact. If you don't utilize the muscles in your body, if you do not exercise these muscles, if you're lazy, then what happens is you begin to look like me. Look at this profile. It's gorgeous. Billy, isn't this pretty? But here's the thing. This is what happens if you don't utilize what God has given you. God doesn't desire that we would just come home and sit on the couch all afternoon. Yet some of us do it so well. But as a result of that, our muscles become weaker. Do you realize that truth? Let me share something else with you. This brain, this noggin that God has given you, do you understand that you can increase your power of learning if you'll take and you'll pick up a book and you'll begin to read? There's something about the written word that transforms your minds and strengthens them. And what better object to read than the Word of God, so that God can not only strengthen your mind, but also can strengthen your spirit. And there it is. If you take the spiritual gifts that God has given you and you choose not to develop those, then you risk the opportunity to lose them. Example, if after having been called of God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Adrian Rogers would have decided that he was only going to do it every once in a while, he would never have developed the skill to articulate and become the wordsmith that he became. Amen? But what he did was he took the gift God had given him and he developed it. He used it on a regular basis and he proclaimed the Word of God. What if God had given you the ability to be able to sing beautifully? And you had this gift and you failed to exercise that resource for the glory of God. You have the ability, but you don't use it. I think we see as singers, if they lay off for a long time, we see that their vocal cords become weak and they're not able to sing at the capacity that they once were able to sing at. And so you begin to see the big picture that if you hide the resources God has given you, you fear losing them. And we don't want to lose the gifts God has given us. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 12 through 15 says this, the fire will test the quality of each man's work. This is good. This is how one of the reasons you can understand that he is not here talking about your salvation as it comes to the theology of salvation and the big picture of what that looks like. He says the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. There's those rewards. We talked about it at the Bema, the judgment seat. And then he goes on to say, if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So let me try and give you a visual picture of this. Say your house catches on fire and you know in advance that you have an opportunity to put the fire out and you choose not to do that, then the fire grows and it engulfs your home and destroys everything. But you yourself did have enough sense to pick a blanket up and throw it over your shoulders and get out of the fire. Everything is destroyed but you. But if you have an opportunity, you see that it's a small fire, that it starts here on the kitchen stove. It's a grease fire, and don't throw water to it. Cover it up. Get rid of the fire, the flame, so that it does not spread. Then you see the difference in what I'm talking about here. And then and there's this, as we've seen through verse 26, there was this unfaithful servant here, and everyone who has more will be given. But as for the one, literally translation is the one who does, is the literal translation, who does, nothing, even what he has, will be taken away. And so that's the big picture that you need to see. Utilize the gifts that God has given you. And finally, this brings us to the very last thing that I share with you this morning. If you faithfully invest God's resources, then you receive much more. If you faithfully invest God's resources, then you receive much more. Verse 24 states this, and I want you to hear it. Listen to the scripture. Listen to what God would share. And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10. Take the one from the servant who was not serving and give it to the other who has 10. You know, you think, well, that's not fair. Sure it is. If you're not going to use it, then someone else can use it and develop that resource so that it can be better used for God's glory. Isn't that right? Don't you think that? I believe that. And as we look at this, I want you to take the investment of the resource, the gift that God has given you, and I want you to invest it in using it to grow the kingdom of God. I want you to share with your friends and with your family that you know are lost, dying, and going to hell, the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to have opportunity as God places you right in the middle of these divine appointments for you to walk up to someone and love them so that they can experience for themselves the love of King Jesus. Jesus. That's the desire that God has for you as we see the scripture, that you would take the investments that God gives you, the investment of the resources of those gifts, and you use them for the furthering of the kingdom. Ultimately, friends, that's what it's all about. It's about you utilizing the gifts that God has given you for the furthering of the kingdom of heaven, for the furthering of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you're here this morning and you have so many gifts at your disposal. You have been blessed beyond a measure. Let me ask you, how many of you who are here this morning would be foolish enough to think that God has not gifted you with a spiritual gift? Please don't raise a hand. Because if you're here and Christ Jesus is your Lord, you have a gift that has been given to you. The question is, are you going to take this gift that God has given you as a Christ follower? And are you going to invest in that gift in order that one day when you stand at the bema, the judgment seat, when Christ returns, he looks at you and he takes what you have. He sees the big picture of your life and he says to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy that is before you, or are you going to stand before King Jesus at the bema seat and he's going to take these gifts away and he's going to say, come on in. Come on in. But there was much more that you could have accomplished. My question, where do you want to be when you get to the judgment seat? What do you want to hear from the lips of the Master? What do you desire him to say to you? As you think about all of that, and you're wondering, well, preacher, I just want to get there. I just want to get there. My challenge to you this morning is that God would burden your heart so much that you don't just want to get there, but that you want to serve while you're here. God has gifted you in such a way. He's gifted all of us individually different gifts. And that's the reason there needs to be unity among us, so that we can take these gifts as believers and utilize each gift, because there's strength in numbers. And as we take the gifts of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gift of song, the gift of prayer, the gift of proclamation, the gift of teaching, the gift of finance, whatever that gift is, if you will take that gift and you will develop that gift for the glory of God, one day you'll stand before King Jesus and he's going to say these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today, in the name of Jesus, we come before your throne of grace and we acknowledge that we have received certain gifts from you. Father, I acknowledge that I've been gifted beyond measure. And Lord, maybe there are even gifts that I've received that I have not yet developed. And if you have given me gifts that I have not yet begun to develop, then please help me understand what those gifts are so that I can begin to develop those gifts. Father, maybe there are many who are here this morning who understand that you are going to return one day, that one day we are going to stand before the judgment seat. And as we stand before the judgment seat, there's going to be an account given to what we have accomplished for you. Father, I pray that we take these gifts that you have given each of us, that we grow them, that we work hard in those, investing time and resources in order that we might become a better student, a better steward of the gift that you have given us. Lord, that it would be developed not for our own glory, but Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Father, maybe there's someone here this morning who's here and maybe they don't understand everything that's being said this morning. Maybe they've never invested, taken that first important step and invested their life in your hands. Maybe they're here this morning and they've never repented of their sin and trusted you as Lord of their life. Father, I ask today in the name of Jesus that you would burden their hearts right now, that you would show them, that you would speak to them, that you would tell them right now that you love them unconditionally and your greatest desire is that today they would repent of their sin, that they would turn away from their sin and turn to you to be Lord of their lives, that they would ask you to come into their heart to forgive them of their sin, to be their Lord and Savior. And then, Father, upon the receiving of the gifts that you give them at salvation, that they would begin to take those gifts and grow them, not for personal gain, but to bring honor and glory to you. And Father, today, I don't know what you're doing in the hearts of those who have gathered, but Father, I pray that you would work mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? You come. What has God laid on your heart? You come today.